morning, I want to look at some lessons that we can get from John the 5th chapter, or John the 6th chapter, Brother Craig has read for us this morning. I had been working, semi-working on an outline pretty much all last week, and worked on it for a while Friday morning, and got ready to type it up, and it sounded too much like Brother Lee's lesson last Sunday. So I started all over. It's going to kind of overlap a little bit in our study in Bible class a little bit, but I make no apologies for the lessons that I hope we can receive from this. You know, we think of the feeding of 5,000, and the more I think about it, the more it's just, I don't know, amazing to put it. I don't have other way to put it. To do what Jesus did and to know that he knew their need. He knew the people's need for food. He knows that men have physical needs. After all, he himself being a man, when we studied about the temptations, you know, over, and Brother Stacy had a lesson just recently about when he was eating with the publicans and Pharisees and tax collectors, and they were trying to trap Jesus eating with such people, and he said, hey, don't those who are sick need a doctor? So he understands that man has physical needs in this. And this is another instance where he realized in verse 4 where, hey, we're kind of going to have to feed these people here. This was an opportune time for Jesus to teach, because we see in verse 4 where the Passover was at hand, and they were gathering up large crowds, knowing that there would be people that would divvy off a little bit of their journey to go see this prophet. So what better opportunity? Verse 5, he lifts up his eyes. Then, seeing there's a large crowd was coming toward them, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He's not going to let them do without. You know, and Jesus, we know that Jesus can supply our every need. Over in Matthew 6:33, all these things were provided unto you, hence if you do what he says. But Jesus also knows, and he even made the statement to the devil in Matthew 4, that man shall not live by bread alone. So this is just kind of an opportune time for him to reveal who he is, his will. And I think we have to be sure we understand that in this passage, and it comes more to light down towards the end of these passages in verse 14. You know, Jesus always knew the thoughts around the people, the thoughts of the people that were around him. You know, he knew these people were going to be getting hungry. It was a journey they'd been on. Over in Luke the 6th chapter in verse 8, this was when the man with the withered hand, we've already studied this in Bible class, and the scribes and Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus. He understood. He said, verse 8 of chapter 6 of Luke, he says, but he knew their thoughts. They didn't have to say. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were wanting to do. So he knows what men are about. He knows that things can pertain to man that affect their physical well-being. So this being the fact, it's no wonder he knew that these folks were looking for food, and this was an opportunity for him to reveal who he was, and that was edified, as we see in verse 14. One of those lessons is that he provided a solution to a problem. Verse 7, Philip answered, 200 denarii would not be enough bread to buy each of them even a little. Meaning they couldn't even buy enough of these 5,000 to give everybody a crumb, just enough to whet their appetite, as we think. This seems to be just a little bit of a problem. Might be a problem, but Christ knew all along what he was going to do. Verse 9, Andrew replies, there is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? In looking at this, these barley loaves were about the size of a large cracker. Flat, maybe 4 or 5 inches round, and these fish were thought to be the size of sardines. This was enough for lunch for this young boy. Can you imagine how this is going to feed 5,000 people? Y'all know me. Y'all know I can eat. That wouldn't be enough but to just make me hungry. So they're sitting here thinking, this is all we have. That seems like a problem to everyone else. The apostles are thinking this is a problem. how we're going to keep the, because what happens when people get hungry? They start getting rowdy, rambunctious, nobody's going to listen, people start getting irritated. You know, I saw a thing on Facebook the other day, if Jesus was to feed the 5,000 fish today, people would be talking about, is it vegan, is it gluten-free? I don't eat meat. These people were no such thing. They were just hungry. In verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, there was as much as they wanted. What did Jesus do? All we know is he was able to take those five loaves of bread, or crackers, if you will, and those two fish, and supply enough for 5,000 men. What kind of power would that be? What kind of power can possess that? Can you imagine trying to go and buy the bread for 5,000 people? That's why Jesus asked Philip that. Well, where are we going to buy the bread? You think anywhere is going to have bread for 5,000 men? I just don't see it. Regina, would it have been hard to supply 5,000 donuts to people, would it not? It would be almost impossible to anyone, but not to Jesus. There was a problem, and he took care of it. There was so much in verse 13, for they gathered up leftover fragments. So not only did he supply just enough, there was plenty more. Plenty more to carry on throughout what they needed. There's a point, Brother James Kaufman makes a comment, his commentary surrounding this. His commentary on Matthew, he said, man has enough if it's dedicated to the Lord. I can't do a lot as far as preaching. I do as much as I can, and I enjoy it from time to time. I can't sit here and quote Scripture. I can't recall all the things that might be able to interject here. But you know what? I can write down what I can remember, what I can look up, and I can present it. I can use what I have to make things work. And hopefully to convey a lesson to you that will help you in some way. So we use what we have. We can all use that suggestion. I've heard this in meeting and from men before. They talk concerning the church. Well, if I had money, what I could do for the church. Not saying that people can't do things with monetary values to help up a building or whatever. But you know what? We all have some way we can help. We all have an opportunity to do things for the church, whether it be in the assembly, whether it be as far as maintenance to the building. Brother Lee made mention of a brother in Christ who can't do much from a mental disability, but he's going to be there to help take care of people, going to be there to take care of the building, this, that, and other. We all have ways that we can do. We can all take a little problem where something might not be getting done, and we can take care of it. We can help. We can pitch in at one time. Another thought here is being thankful and giving thanks. In verse 11, when he had given thanks, he distributed to them those that were seated. He gave thanks. Also, in coming off the same lesson in verse 23, he says, when they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. He was there. Jesus was there at the beginning. Over in John, the first chapter, a beautiful passage that helps us to understand the authority of Jesus, the being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Even though he is responsible for this ability to provide food, he still gave thanks. Is it so much that it's a giving thanks for being grateful, or is it for understanding and putting trust in God? We give thanks to our Father. Is our thankfulness because of what we know we have? Our thankfulness should be because God provides our every need, whether we ask for it or not. When you pray, do you thank God for the breath that you just breathed? Do you thank God for the sleep that you received? And if you do, that's great. I'm just thinking of things that we just automatically take for granted. Things that God allows us partake in every day without our thought. To have clothes, this building, to live in the country that we live in, the freedoms that are afforded to us, the abilities to work. And if not the ability to work, but we still have the ability to provide. God gives us those things without us even asking. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. We're asking for God to supply us for our physical need on a daily basis and to thank Him for doing that. You know, sometimes there are people that they don't know where their next meal is coming from. But they're so thankful when it's there. We should always be thankful even when the things are abundant in our life. We should always be thankful. You know, we've been mentioned many times, so many times, God is only thanked when something we really wanted was given. I don't think we have challenges. I think we have opportunities. There are several things. People on Facebook, you know, they're, some people's idea of church is just posting things on Facebook. I like the one that says, I don't think that's how this works. But a lot of good things, I think, a lot of applications can come. Sometimes we are in a situation that we don't know what to do, but we pray. There's always an opportunity to give thanks to the Lord. Colossians 3:15, always be thankful. You know, I know sometimes we don't think things can get any more difficult, or sometimes might not get any in a worse situation, but it always can be. Things can be taken from us. Things can happen to us. But we always have to be thankful to God, because there's always going to be an opportunity of escape in all the things that He has given to us. Another thing that we see here is Christ does not leave these people hungry. He does not leave them wanting food. Verse 12, they were filled. Christ did so much with such a little thing. There was 12 baskets left over in verse 13. 12. They had 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5,000 people, and there were 12 baskets left. Can you imagine? That's a lot. Not sure how big the baskets are, but if you take this boys here who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes in his little basket, you're still looking. This is after feeding 5,000 with that. But you know, this was not just an opportunity to feed them physically. This was an opportunity to see who He was. And there again, we'll see that in verse 14. But you know, it's not just to the physical side that the Lord blesses us. And we're in section 12 of the lesson book in the teenage class, and adult class will be there shortly. In the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:6, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That if that's what we look for, that's what we're going to receive. We talked about that in Bible class this morning. This is not just something to look. Looking just to look to see is not enough. It's getting involved. I asked them, is it just enough if you lose your car keys and you see them? You find them. Well, we think when we find them, we go pick them up, we put them to use. Well, I can find anything, for the most part. I can look and see it, but do I use it? We have to be looking for something. We have to be striving for it to receive it in order to get it. Playing hide and go seek. It doesn't do any good just to see somebody running across the field. Well, I had to tag them. Otherwise, no, you didn't see me. You have to strive for it. You have to go for it. Matthew 28:20, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. He is not going to leave us. If He's going to supply us with our spiritual needs, with our righteousness, He's not going to leave us. Hebrews 13:5, and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If we seek for that righteousness, if we look to be filled with our hunger and thirst for righteousness, that will be fulfilled if we're looking for it. It's not just going to happen. I'm talking with the kids so many times now, it's just about a feeling or just about looking. long as you're seeking Christ, that's good enough. Are you really? Because a lot of people seeking is skimming the Bible, looking for to justify their way and not really applying to the Scripture. You know, something else Jesus teaches us here, and my thought, is how to be thrifty, how to be useful. Thrifty, or thrift, in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is a careful management. Of course, it applies especially to money. Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and makes it enough food for 5,000. It gives them leftovers. He said in verse 12 that they may pick up that nothing may be lost. This can be used further on down the travel, through the journey. But you know, this teaches us to be useful with our time. Jesus couldn't set up camp here and go on for days per se because they were on their way to celebrate the Passover feast. He takes the opportunity to teach, but we have time. And sometimes we like to just kind of procrastinate. I do. I'm probably world's worst. That's what made it so bad in school. I'd always wait to the last minute. I've learned teaching and preaching, you can't do that. It's a lot. So we had to make use of our time. Over in James chapter 4, so come now you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. We can be wanting to go talk to our neighbor about the gospel. We'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow might be a little bit cooler. It might not be raining tomorrow. But we don't know if tomorrow's going to be here. I'll make things right tomorrow. I'll make things right at a more opportune time, but we don't know about tomorrow. We don't know what opportunities will be lost by waiting. So make use of our time. Jesus could have waited, I guess, if he wanted to send out the 12 to go find bread for 5,000 people. But he took advantage of the time that was there and what he had, made use of what he had. You know, we're taught also, and I think application can be made about wasting our goods, wasting our money. You know, there are things that I think that make life maybe a little bit more convenient, a little easier to do. I have on my tablet at the house, I have a handheld Bible, right? It makes it useful. But my family's not going to do without a meal because I wanted to go buy that. I think we make use of the things that we have, of the monies that we have, to use the way that is in according to God's word. We have to use things that are not just are not of this earth. We have things to do, but we don't have to use things wastefully. You know, everybody works hard for their job, and everyone works for a paycheck. You know, I saw a thing one day: if it wasn't for bills, I wouldn't work. Now, is that true? The Bible says, "Man won't work, neither shall he eat." Over in James, the 5th chapter, a little different take on things. He says in verse 2, "Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your heart in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous people. He does not resist you." Why would we want to waste on things? Over in what about our talents? In Matthew 15th chapter, we have the parable of the talents. The 5, 4, 3, and the 1. The 2 went and made use of that talent. They doubled what they had. The man that had the 1 thought that he was doing well by just kind of putting it away and hiding it. We're supposed to use what we're given. We use our talent. Make use of that talent. We all have some way that we can do something. We might not all be song leaders who can read music to the greatest ability. We might not all be Bible class teachers or preachers. We all have ability to speak in one form or the other, especially when it comes to spreading the gospel. We all have that ability to show someone the Bible, to help someone discern the scriptures. Over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and this is probably, could have used this just for all the whole point. Excuse me, I'll spit it out in a minute. But over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, at verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, sometimes there's value to what might be considered waste. He had them pick up what was left over. That way, as nothing was wasted. Sometimes there might be, you know, years ago there was a study done on fruit peels, how there seemed to be more vitamins in the peel than what was inside. I know they talk about potatoes, the peel being better for this, that, and other. Think about a bar of iron, scrap iron. Brother Norman probably got scrap iron out there on the farm somewhere. Take a bar of iron. It's $5, okay? If it's made into horseshoes, it's worth $12. Now, this is a bar of scrap iron. If it's made into needles, it's worth $3,500. And if that bar of scrap iron is made into balance springs for watches, it's worth $300,000. So what might be left over, what might be scrap or considered a waste, is not always the case. What might have been left over in this feeding of the 5,000 could have made them just not appreciate. It could have been that they just saw, hey, he can do whatever he wants. You ain't got to worry about it. What about the gospel? He made this food available to these 5,000 men. Is the gospel not available to all? Matthew 28:18, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Does that just mean in Muscle Shoals? That apply to make an application to us? Or just to Florence, Tuscumbia, Sheffield? Just North Alabama? Just Alabama? Just Southeast? You know, those that are for the lottery in the states. Oh, it's never going to happen because Alabama, the Bible Belt. I tell people at work, they're just kind of ignorant, thinking the Bible Belt is just Alabama. Because I remember growing up, we'd go to Indiana to see Uncle Stanley. The Bible Belt, you think about the Bible Belt. Now, that's not just the Southeast. It's not just the country. People think because that's where religion is great. Just because there are, I don't have any churches in this area, does that mean that it's being taught, that the will is being taught? No. But the gospel is available to all men everywhere. We have men like Brother Ed Grant, Brother Ed Brand, Rick Lanning, Brother Bobby Graham, just to name a few, that go to other places to be able to take and present the Word of God to those people. The parable of the prodigal son we looked at the other day, Luke 15:17, he said, he's looking and he's the prodigal son, he's watching, he's broke, he's out of money, and he looks, and in verse 17 of Luke 15, he said, pertaining to his father's servants, they have more than enough bread to spare. The gospel is available. It is made, opportunity is available to all. There again, Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. It is available. And you know, perhaps to make this all come together, and I hope I've been able to present this in a way that you can see where I'm coming from. But in the 14th chapter of our 14th verse of our text of John 6, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. At that time, they were new of that area. We talk about the Bible lands. But they didn't limit it just to us. They didn't say just to us. They said into the world. Think about it. We're over here. We're on the other side of the continent. The word is known here. Christ is known here. Christ is known there. And everywhere in between. They came to this conclusion that this is the prophet. I ask you, have you come to that thought? That this is indeed the Jesus Christ. The opportunity is available this morning to anyone who has not yet became the child of God that need to be, or anyone this morning who has been a child and have stepped away from things that need to be done. If there's anyone needs to respond to the invitation anyway, we ask you to come if you stand in.